This morning we're going to look at a topic called responding to gender and same-sex issues. Now you may be wondering, why are we covering this? Well, we're taking a short departure from our sermon series on the book of Matthew just for this morning, because the issues about gender confusion and same-sex attraction have certainly gathered a lot of media attention, whether it's in magazines, in movies, in television, in newspaper reports and so on, not just abroad but right here in Malaysia. And so it is important for us to know how we should be responding to these issues as we see them as Satan's attack on God's image. So I want to leave with you scripture to start us off with, because scripture is always good, it is absolute truth. And it comes from Genesis chapter 1, verse 27, that reads for you, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them." The Bible is clear about what God wanted to do. He's our creator. God created man in his own image. And God created mankind as two sexes, male and female. There was never any confusion about sexes where the Bible is concerned. But Satan has been busy trying to create confusion about the different sexes. And in recent years, that appears to be an increasing assault by Satan on God's image. Now, Satan wants to twist, diminish, and destroy God's image. At the same time, Satan wants to destroy God's plan of marriage and family. So let us look at some examples of how Satan is carrying out his plans in assaulting God's image. Let's look at it. The first area that we see Satan active is in the area of social media. Now today, if any one of you were to want to open a new account in Facebook, now in the United States, when you fill in your name and personal details in opening up an account, when it comes to gender, there are now 58 options for people to select. In addition to male and female, they may choose androgynous, bisexual, gender fluid, non-binary, transgender, transsexual, and the list goes on. Here in Malaysia, when you want to open a new Facebook account, you can now select how you want Facebook to address you, either as he, she, or them. Now, the pronoun them was added to accommodate those who do not want to be referred either as a he or she. That's right here in Malaysia. And you can state the gender you would like to be known. There is an area for you to fill in how you want to be identified as. That's already in social media. Then the next area that Satan is attacking is in the area of schools. Now, again in the United States, where once girls in school who like playing rough, we will refer to them as tomboys. And boys who act effeminate were called sissies. But now they are required to be known as gender fluid. At a young age, children could even opt to begin hormone treatment or testosterone treatment to begin their journey to have their sex reassigned. That's in the United States. Then in the area of lifestyle, here in Malaysia, I've seen more and more men sporting makeup whilst they are at their workplace. It is socially acceptable to see men carrying bags that only women used to carry. There is an increasing fluidity where men may dress in feminine clothes and women dress in menswear. This is not a surprise. When you look at K-pop artists, frequently they wear makeup. And singers like Harry Styles have been filmed wearing pearls, skirts, blouses with bows. That's in lifestyle. What about social influences? There are many social media influences that are influencing our youth the world over. And they say it is cool to be different, to be whatever or whoever you want to be. The social media is full of influencers advocating that if you do not like the sex you were born with, it's okay to make changes so that you can find your true self. Even children's material hasn't been exempt. Two recent children's books were published in the United States. One is called Carlos, the Fairy Boy. In that book, a grandmother encourages her grandson to follow his fairy boy dreams. Another book is called They, She, He, and Me. Now, this is a children's picture book about pronouns and gender fluidity, catering to preschoolers. Even cartoons have been included now with some gay content. Recently, some of you may have known, the latest Pixar movie called Buzz Lightyear had a same-sex kiss, causing this film to be banned in certain countries, including Malaysia. Now, in the area of entertainment industry, there are many examples of gay couples, the most prominent being Ellen DeGeneres and her partner, Portia de Rossi. And of course, we have Sir Elton John and his husband, David Furnish, with singers like Lil Nas X and Ricky Martin, just examples of people who are openly gay. And there's also wide coverage of people transitioning from male to female or female to male. For example, you have an Oscar-nominated actress, Ellen Page, transitioned and is now known as the male Elliot Page. Or what about the former Olympian, Bruce Jenner, who now goes by the name of Caitlyn Jenner. He's the father and mother of Kendall Jenner, the supermodel. And we have the singer Demi Lovato openly declaring that she's now a non-binary, meaning she wants to be known neither as male or female. Here in Malaysia, in January 2021, a cosmetic millionaire and singer fled our country in a highly publicized case you can only find on social media. Why? Because he was a transsexual. He had built this beauty empire, dressed as a woman, and she had to leave all this behind because she wanted to be known as a woman. She now lives in Australia because she preferred to be treated as a woman. She's just one of a number of high-profile cases right here in Malaysia. Now, as a result of all these influences, is it a surprise there is gender confusion amongst our youth? Many are exposed to this wave of gender fluidity. There's a strong push to accept it, to even embrace it. It's considered cool to be inclusive, cool to be accepting, cool to accept LGBT relationships. Now, how should the church respond? How should the church respond? You see, the church cannot ignore what is happening or sweep everything under the carpet. If the church does not provide answers or guidance, those that are vulnerable, like our youth, those who are confused by all this media push about gender, they will have to look elsewhere for their answers. They will look where, if the church doesn't provide these answers, they have no choice but to look at popular media sources. Look at what the internet says. And most of these sources are mostly supportive and promote gender fluidity, inclusiveness, acceptance, promotion of same-sex attraction, and LGBT agendas, and so on. So this sermon is an attempt to provide some answers in response to what is going on in the world today. So what are the answers? Firstly, the Bible is clear. Remember this. The Bible is very clear on these issues. And again, going back to Genesis chapter 1, 27, he says this. God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Now, God created people in his own image. He created them male or female. So a person is either born male or female. Now, since the Bible is clear, and for centuries, people have accepted that gender falls into these two categories, why is there so much confusion today? Why are there now multiple categories? The reason is this. Because Satan has sown seeds of discontent in some of our youth, causing them to question whether God really made them the way they were. The world today promotes happiness as a goal. If someone is not happy with his or her own body image, then the simplest thing to do in order to be happy is to start changing that body image. If someone is unhappy in a woman's body, she could start wearing men's clothing, start taking testosterone hormones and steroids to build muscles, and her dissatisfaction about her gender is really a rejection of how God had made her. She may even blame God for making her feel that way. And that is what the world does. But that is against what the Bible says. God made us male or female. God is the creator. He doesn't make mistakes. Now let us look at the issue of same-sex attraction. Again, the Bible is clear and is given for you on the screen in Genesis chapter 2, verse 24. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and they will become one flesh. Now, after God had created man and woman, God's plan was for them to multiply and inhabit the world. He had created this world for that purpose, for man and woman to be united as one flesh and to populate the world and to run the world and to worship Him as the Almighty God. So God had planned man to be married to the woman. The man and the woman were allowed to have sexual relationship with each other after marriage and to procreate their children. And this is clear in Genesis 2, verse 24. The Bible is clear that God does not allow a same-sex relationship or marriage between a man and another man or a woman with another woman. Now, there are a number of passages, both in the Old and the New Testament, where gay relationships are clearly prohibited. And I'll give you some examples. Of course, not on the screen, for all of us, we know when we look at Genesis chapter 19, God judged Sodom, the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, for their gross wickedness and perversion. Now, looking at Leviticus chapter 18, verse 22, it says this: "Do not lie with a man as one lies with a woman. That is detestable." And Romans chapter 1, verse 27, "In the same way, the men also abandoned natural relations with women and were inflamed with lust for one another. Men committed indecent acts with other men and receive in themselves the due penalty for their perversion." And then when we come to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 to 10, it tells us this: "Do you not know that the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, or idolaters, nor adulterers, nor male prostitutes, nor homosexual offenders, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God." So despite the clear teachings in the Bible that speaks against same-sex relationships, there are people who choose to ignore it. Gay people have been saying they were born with the same-sex attraction tendencies, and if it felt right, how could it be wrong? Again, they argue that if God wanted them to be happy, what is wrong in choosing to sleep with the person they were attracted to, even those of the same sex? In answer, the Bible does not tell us that God's plan is to make us happy. God promises us that He would be with us in good and in bad times. Jesus even told us, if we want to follow Him, we must be prepared to take up our cross. So the Bible is clear. There are only two genders, male and female. And the Bible is against gay or same-sex attractions and gay marriages. The Bible is very clear about this. And also the natural law is clear. Now, apart from the Bible, the human anatomy also reveals only two genders, male and female. The male and female each have distinct sexual reproductive organs. There's a clear distinction between them. At birth, medical professionals who deliver babies would make a quick inspection of the genitals of the babies and assign their gender. And in 99.99% of the time, there are no mistakes made. So any physical attempt to reassign gender later, from male to female or female to male, will require sex change operations that can never be as good as how God has made each of us in the first place. It can never be as good. And we know naturally that for there to be babies, a man and a woman must be united together physically. That's the only way anyone can reproduce. So a man and a man cannot reproduce, just as a woman and a woman together cannot reproduce. So the natural law itself will tell us that it is clear of God's intention of the unity between male and female, the separation of the sexes between male or female. So now, what are we to do? Increasingly, we will come across people who are gender confused because they're swayed by what they see on their computers, in movies, in magazines, or they think they're gay or are in same-sex relationships. We can't escape. There are people already in our midst. Although this is not officially condoned, and in fact, our authorities may turn a blind eye and pretend it doesn't exist, because you hardly read about it in the official newspapers and the official media. But we have to accept that Malaysia do have such people right here in our midst. and the influence of social media, the internet, movies, the music we hear, does have an impact on how people look at themselves and their sexual orientation. So what are we to do? Firstly, let's look to Jesus. Let's look to Jesus. When we come across gay people or those who are confused about their gender, a good starting point for us is to ask ourselves, if Jesus was with us, what would he have done? And we find an answer when we look at Matthew chapter 9, verse 10 to 11. And I read to you. While Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, many tax collectors and sinners came and ate with him and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they asked his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" On hearing this, Jesus said, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick." You see, Jesus did not avoid the tax collectors and sinners. These were the outcasts of his day. Jesus always went out of his way to seek people in need of salvation. And that means that when we look to Jesus for guidance, we should also try to follow him and not be like the Pharisees who avoided tax collectors and sinners and who looked down on such people with contempt. We therefore must not look down with contempt nor avoid gay people or those that are gender confused or transsexuals and so on. We must see them as how Jesus sees them. People in need of the love of Jesus and his saving grace. Now I need to qualify here that like Jesus, we are to love sinners but not love their sins. We never support nor condone their lifestyle. Yes, like Jesus, we befriend such people. We look for opportunities to tell them that they are not born gay or sexually ambiguous. All they need is to be born again. Now, in order to do that, we need to ask the Lord to grant us compassion, love, patience, and a listening ear. As an example, over the years, Deacon Bochu and I, we have come across some gay people, some gender-confused people, people having same-sex attractions and so on. In every single case, we point them to Jesus Christ. We pray for them. We give them a listening ear. Now, we have a family friend, and she was gay. But she turned to Jesus as her personal Lord and Savior. And so now, she has stopped that lifestyle. But what about you? Let me ask you, what is your natural reaction when you come across those who are gender ambiguous or people who are gay? Are you homophobic? And do you avoid them? Are you compassionate and willing to reach out to them? Will you follow the example set by Jesus to reach out to those generally rejected by society and see them as people in need of salvation, in need of the love of Jesus? Now, what are we to do? The second thing, we follow what the Bible says. We follow what the Bible says. Now, I will not be able to cover every situation that you will face in these issues of gender confusion or same sex. So in the interest of time, I will offer three possible situations you may find yourself in. And these are situations I myself have come across. Now, what do we do when we're invited to a wedding inverted commas, to celebrate a commitment between people of the same sex. Now, here in Malaysia, same-sex marriages are not legalized. It's not recognized. So you cannot organize a same-sex wedding, really, here in KL. But what if we were invited to attend a gay wedding to be held in, say, Phuket or Bali? Now, as a friend or relative, what do you do if you're invited to attend such a wedding? If you decide to go, your presence would mean that you support same-sex marriages. And if you do not go, you may offend and upset the couple inviting you. It may even result in a broken relationship with the people who have given you the invitation. So what do? So the thing we do then is we look to Jesus. We also follow what the Bible says. And here we have helpful scripture. We find some guidance in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 4 to 13. The Apostle Paul had to advise the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 4 to 13, on the appropriateness of eating food that had been offered to idols before. And so people were wondering, is it all right to eat food that was offered to idols? And so Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 8, 13, given for you on the screen, and I read to you, "Therefore, if what I eat causes my brother to fall into sin, I will never eat meat again, so that I will not cause him to fall, to fail." Now, in other words, Paul concluded that if his actions would cause others to stumble, he would stop whatever it was he was doing for the sake of not causing others to misunderstand his position and actions. And that means that if by attending the wedding, it may cause unbelievers to think that Christians accept and support same-sex marriages, it would then be best for us, following Paul's example and teaching in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, it would be best that we decline the wedding invitation. But we don't just decline it, we explain to the couple. We graciously explain the Bible's view against same-sex relationships that are clear. And as followers of Jesus Christ, we have to stand by his word and offer to pray that the couple would not be offended and would accept your stand. And offer assurance of friendship to the couple, that your friendship with them still remains. Then another example. You and your son were watching a film that depicted a transvestite, and he jokingly remarked, "Bondan," which is a derogatory word. Now, do you laugh along with him, or do you see a need to guide him? Again, if we follow what the Bible says, we look to Scripture for an answer. We find this in Matthew chapter 22, verse 39, and he reads this. "And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself." Now, Jesus taught us that the greatest commandment was to love God with all our heart, our soul, our mind, and strength. And the second greatest commandment was to love our neighbor as ourselves. Thus, if we see a transvestite, that is a man dressed as a woman, we are to see him as someone who is made in the image of God, and one that Jesus Christ was prepared to die to redeem from sin. Now, the transvestite's condition should cause compassion and concern from us rather than ridicule, to be an object to poke fun at. This is how we are to teach our children. And the third example, your children saw the band cartoon Buzz Lightyear. Because why? You have a gadget at home that allows you to have access to many, many movies across the world to be screened right in your house. And so even though Buzz Lightyear is banned officially in the cinemas, you can still watch it at home freely. And so your children saw the controversial same-sex kiss scene in the movie. So do you think they're too young to understand? Or do you spend some time after the movie to explain to them how God looks at the issue? Again, let's look at the Bible for guidance. And I give you scripture. It comes from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 6 to 7. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, and when you walk along the road, and when you lie down, and when you get up. Leviticus 20, verse 13a. If a man lies with a man, as one lies with a woman, both of them have done what is detestable. Now Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 6 to 7 is clear. Parents, grandparents, you have a responsibility to teach your children and grandchildren God's word. And that comes from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 6 and 7. Don't delegate it or expect the youth Sunday school teachers or the Sunday school teachers here to do that for you, to talk about gender and same-sex issues. You have that responsibility. And so, you are to tell your children and grandchildren that a cartoon like Buzz Lightyear reflects world views. That's what the world thinks. And the world opposes God's commands. And so parents graciously should point their children to the fact that God created people, male and female. And any kissing between opposite sexes is permissible only between married couples or couples with an intention to marry each other. Now God hates same-sex attractions. And he expressed his strong views on the matter often in the Bible. And just as God hates same-sex attractions, as his followers, we too should also hate this sin. But we temper that with grace and mercy and point offenders to the saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are to love the sinner and not the sin. So will you exercise parental guidance to teach your children to navigate such issues? Don't just leave it to your youth Sunday school teachers. We all have a responsibility. So brothers and sisters, it's my prayer that you have taken this sermon in the right spirit. It's meant to be a guide in responding to the many different assaults by the devil against God's image, which is man and woman. And Satan continues to want to distort, to twist, and confuse us into thinking otherwise. But the Bible is very clear. The natural law is very clear on such issues. And so it is our duty to teach the young in our midst, under our care, to know the truth. And I hope as a result, all of us will be better able to face issues concerning gender confusion and same-sex attractions. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for the clarity in your word that helps us, Lord, when media surrounding us is full of contradiction and attempts to distort the truth that lies in your word. So help us always to be clear-minded. Help us always to be focused on guiding those who are young or vulnerable, who are confused on such issues, so that they too will be set right. They too will walk right with you. In the mighty, powerful name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.